Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take, my people. Look at this crew. SA, as always, I saw you with the Cardies. Don't hurt them. Good job this weekend. Countdown all weekend. I'm sure you've been complaining how tired you are. But Monica, the real MVP today with the cross-country flight, loving the shades of pink. And, of course, my guy Perk. Perk, I thought you were going to be here with me, but it's all good. I won't hold it against you. How's everybody feeling this morning?
I only have one thing to say.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm a...
What'd he say?
I said hi, Molly.
Hi, Molly. He's a grouchy Molly.
You know what? You know what, Stephen A? I would try to rub it in right now because I was power walking by the beach yesterday, toes in the sand.
Hold it. Stop what? Right there. Don't just say that to the American people. Perk, Eminem.
Yes.
Molly actually sat up there. I mean, I'm minding my business. Working okay. Now. Okay. Molly gonna sit up there and send a photo of the beach.
I did.
Of the beach.
Of the palm trees, the beach.
Just it was digging glorious. It in, you know what I'm saying?
But that's I was watching ahead. You holding it down on countdown, and I'll say this in all seriousness, though, Stephen A., my mom's out here with me, and it's about that. I'm glad she's getting to enjoy it all, so it's a lot of fun. So I'm not even going to talk junk right now. Guys, we got a lot to get into. Let's do this. So after eyebrow-raising comments made by LeBron James leading up to the trade deadline and continuing through the All-Star weekend, James made it clear he wants the Lakers, the team he's played for the past 4 years of his 19-year career, to be the final franchise he plays for, saying this after the Lakers 105-102 loss to the Clippers. This is a franchise I see myself being with. I'm here. I see myself being with the purple and gold as long as I can play. I wonder if he still feels that way, though, guys. After last night hitting new lows, LeBron was booed by Lakers fans. Did you hear it in the third? With LA trailing by 19 points, and LeBron had a 6th turnover of the game and the team's 18th turnover in a 28-point loss to the Pelicans at home. Here's Russell Westbrook on those boos.
Does the booing, like, you know, pretty loud, especially at the end of the game, does that stick with you? Like, how do you respond to that? Like,
nah.
You don't take that home with you?
Take it home? For what?
I don't think about it.
Take it home. Man, well, I got 3 beautiful kids at my house. My wife, I ain't taking it home. They can take their boo and they can take their home.
I don't have an answer from tonight. I mean, obviously, you talk about the future. That's for us all to figure out. I mean, you don't know what can happen in the next, you know, few weeks. But tonight, I mean, from the six minute point of the second quarter through the third, no answers. No, this is this season is definitely different.
Stress, but LeBron downtrodden. The Lakers currently sit in 9th in the Western Conference standing. LA holds a 3-game lead in the loss column over both the Pelicans and the Trailblazers. Remember, seeds 7 through 10 will participate in a play-in tournament before advancing to the first round. Stephen A., should LeBron want out after this season?
He should damn sure think about it, I'll tell you that much. But I'll say this, a couple of things that I think are important. Russell Westbrook was hilarious right there. He was absolutely hilarious. Please don't get me wrong. And I know he didn't mean it the way that it was coming across, but when you're struggling the way that he has struggled and the way the team has struggled, for this particular franchise, that's going to be taken differently. And him being a Los Angeles native should know that. That's, if you're in Oklahoma City, you can do that because we know what he meant to that franchise. But the Lakers are a different animal. With championship expectations every year that this team hasn't come close to living up to. And a lot of people point at him. So I just wish he'd guard himself because he'll end up getting criticized for it when it's not deserved, because I know he didn't mean anything by it. But just be careful with that. The other thing I want to say is this. Should LeBron consider wanting out of Los Angeles? Sure he should. I don't think he will, because La La is different than Lake Erie, and I certainly understand that. But the flip side to it, y'all, is this. LeBron delivered a championship. And last time I checked, he's playing like an MVP candidate. The one person who should never be booed by the Los Angeles Lakers fan is LeBron James. No matter what, no matter how bad it is, no matter how good it is, This man has been a model of consistency, professionalism, and greatness for the Los Angeles Lakers. I think we all can look at LeBron's play on the court. If you wanted to get on him for the roster, that's a different matter. But looking at LeBron James' play on the court, can we seriously sit here and look at him and find fault with how he has played? I can't. I watched him all year long. And I'm not saying he's perfect every moment, because of course he's not. But you talk about a dude that is playing hard, is going all out, and producing digits. 29, 6, and 7? I mean, that's what he's averaging. On 51.9% shooting, on nearly 35% shooting from three-point range, at age 37 in his 19th season, half the time without Anthony Davis? This is not the person that Los Angeles Laker fans should be booing because he committed a turnover. That's what they did last night. And I would say to the Los Angeles Lakers fans, who I love dearly, Laker Nation, but mind your manners and watch yourself, because LeBron has not cheated you. He has not done that. Remember where you were before he arrived and what you accomplished within 2 years after his arrival. I can't believe they got me defending LeBron James. But he deserves it here.
Well, you know what? You're about 50% right on some of the things that you said. And then the other stuff, I don't even know how you uttered it out your mouth. Okay, so because here's the simple fact. It wasn't about what LeBron James has did overall for the Los Angeles Lakers. It wasn't about what LeBron James has done up to this point of the season. They was booing LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers about last night. And if you watched the game last night, LeBron awful. James, yes, he had 30-some points or whatever the case may be, but his body language stunk. It was horrible. From the start of the game, his body language, and then it went all the way down to the last man. Like the hanging of the head, the pouting, the not getting back in transition. He deserved to get booed. And you know what happened? In the first quarter, in the second quarter, LeBron was non-existent. Then all of a sudden, they started booing him late in the third quarter. And in the fourth quarter, he decided to start playing hard. So he doesn't get a pass at all. Now, should he want out later on down the line? But he can't want out after this season. Remember, you came on here time and time again. Remember, you came on here time and time again saying that he helped put this roster together.
That's true.
So if you made this bed, you have to lay in it. And every in the world knows how I feel about my brother LeBron James that I grew up with since the seventh grade. But accountability is accountability. And we cannot let him off the hook for this mess that is going on in Los Angeles. Although he has been playing well this season, in particular, last night, his body language was horrible, and as the leader of that team, he cannot do that.
I won't lie. I was watching the game last night in and out of a sleep nap because I knew I had to be here. And I was like, is that another turnover? CJ McCollum knocking down a three? Are they going to put up any sort of resistance? At one point, I legit thought I was watching a sketch of how bad the Lakers have been this season, but that's neither here nor there. I'm going to split the difference between the two of you, Perk and Stephen A. I think that LeBron should explore options to leave. Because if there's anybody in the league that has the cachet to make a mess and just kind of walk away, it would be LeBron James. And I think when we look at the arc of his career, he has not been bashful about wanting to be in the best position for whatever his goals are, both personally and professionally. Now, I understand that LA aligns with all of the other things he's doing off the basketball court, but really quick anecdotal story. When we were out at All-Star, one of the security guards just, you know, chopping it up, chatting with him, he made the point that Kobe will always be the king of L.A. and that LeBron is the king of Cleveland. I understand that he says he wants to stay put, but I see this as a fluid situation because to me, in terms of the legacy and what he means to the state of Ohio, that should be something that is worth exploring down the road. But as far as this season goes, we knew how bad this team was and this last night. Is it the basement? Could it get worse?
We got to move on, but I'm going to say this. KP, you're absolutely right when you talk about the point of him assembling the roster. No disagreement there. I was just saying if it gets to a point where Laker Nation is lumping you in with the likes of Russell Westbrook, for example, or anybody else that they want to boo. That's a problem, and it should be a problem for LeBron James, because last night, notwithstanding, the vast majority of this season, we've seen him do what he's done.
That's Kirk, all. Last word here.
No, look, I don't disagree with you on that, but I'm just talking about last night.
Yeah.
Last night, not only did Lakers deserve booze, but he deserved it as well. I mean, his body language was horrible. And if I was on the bench in the locker room, I would have told him, hey, Bron, look, man, your body language out there, man, it's horrible right now. It was. Look, the whole team was just, it was just no effort whatsoever. I was sitting there saying to myself, it's a damn shame because they just quit on Frank Vogel.
Which I told you would happen.
That looked bad.
Would happen.
They quit on him. Last night, they quit on Frank Vogel, and that's unfair to Frank Vogel, man, because this is a guy that you won a championship. I don't feel like all the people out there saying, oh, they could have had Ty Lue. Hey, do y'all realize Frank Vogel did help y'all win a championship? He can't teach art effort.
Yeah,
We'll have more on the Lakers later, guys. Let's get to a team that appears to have no problems right now. The Big Two. Friday night, did you see it? James Harden and the Sixers. Big Perk, talk to me. Couldn't have played better together, beating the T-Wolves 133-102 in Harden's debut with his new team, finishing with 27, 8 rebounds, 12 assists to become the first player with at least 25 points and 12 assists in his first game with three teams. Then Sunday, Harden had 29, 10 rebounds, 16 assists, and a 125-109 win over Stephen A. Sorry Knicks. Joel Embiid scored 37 and had strong words for what he saw in the duo.
Man, what are you really going to do? He's a great passer, and obviously I got someone that attracts a lot of attention to. So you got to make a decision. Do you, stay on me or do you stay on them? I'm happy I don't have to post up every single possession. It's great.
We're overly confident, with the group that we have. I'm looking forward to Wednesday, man. Tonight felt like we was in Philly, but the crowd going to be, it's going to be turned in there, and I'm ready for it.
Big Perk, I want to start with you. Do you agree with Embiid that the Sixers are unbeatable?
Yes. And by the way, let me add this. I need to get on the meal plan that James Harden is on, okay?
Right.
Because in Brooklyn, he was fat and he was out of shape. Boy, don't look right now. I mean, I thought I see some biceps and veins popping out. I need to call him and get
on Lean down real quick.
It was towels.
Okay, but listen, here's the thing. I said that they actually could have a possibility of being on the verge of being the next Kobe and Shaq. That was the wrong comparison. I'm looking at Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar right now. I mean, just because of James Harden facilitating, it's enough that people have to deal with Joel Embiid. By the way, who shot 30-plus free throws last night in the game, who fouled almost every big out of the game. When you put those two together, and when it comes to late game situations, picking rolls, clearing out a side, going two-man game, I don't know who in the hell could stop those two. They had trouble stopping just Embiid. Back 2 years ago, they had trouble stopping just James Harden. Now you have a motivated Embiid, a motivated James Harden, and you telling me that somebody in the league, a team in the league, could actually stop those two? I don't see it. Matter of fact, I'm going to go right now on the limb after two games and say this. I see the 76ers winning it all. The way that Tyrese Maxey is playing right now, the way that those two guys are playing, and they still haven't got a good version of Tobias Harris. I think he's going to come along. If those two could stay healthy, along with Tyrese Maxey, listen, the Philadelphia 76ers is bringing that trophy on this season. I don't know nobody in the NBA that's stopping them too, period.
All right, Perk. Okay. I hear you on the energy, but first of all, I'm glad that you brought it back from Kobe and Shaq, because what we're not going to do is act like James Harden is anywhere near the defender that Kobe was. And that is where I draw some issue with your enthusiasm over the Sixers. Is it delightful? Yes. Are we giddy about this team offensively? 100%. However, when we get ready to get to a series, because last night I watched two very good teams out in the West battle with one another. In particular, when they decided to go under screens, one team went on a run. When the other team went under screens, they went on a run as well. And so when we get into the playoffs, to me, the defensive part of this equation is going to be and very, very important. Offensively, I get it. It's a thing of beauty. James Harden spaces the floor. Tobias Harris can knock down jumpers. Joel Embiid can work in the mid post area as well as the post. He can pop if he wants to. I get it. However, on the defensive side of the ball, I'm just concerned about the liability, because we know that this league is driven by pick and roll actions, and I just don't know what James Harden you're going to get when it comes to stopping some of the other firepower they will have to get through to win it all.
I'm going to make this quick. And I don't even need a response from either one of you, because after this, I got to get into another matter. We have to discuss a baseball item with the nonsense that's going on with them. But I want to say this. Kendrick Perkins, doing a great job for the network. This man just went on national television and talked about how the Sixers are going to win it all, and we're just going to ignore who they did what they did against.
That part.
We're just going to ignore that it was against the Knicks, huh? We're just going to ignore that. You see, this is the concept, and this is the kind of thing that bothers me about Kendrick Perkins, who, like Malika Andrews and Shanae Ogumake, you know, he could turn into a Benedict Arnold occasionally, too, get contaminated by Molly. See, he brings up the Knicks.
What?
When I want to forget about them. All right? And then when I want to discuss them, he'll forget about them. You see what I'm saying? I don't want to talk about the Knicks right now, but you forced me to, because of what you said, I have to remind you, Mitchell Robinson, Julius Randle, I mean, who looks depressed every time he has to walk into the garden. Have you noticed? I mean, most of the stuff that Julius Randle does is away from Madison Square Garden. When he steps into Madison Square Garden, it just seems to take on a different veneer, a different ambiance, a different mood. The brother looked depressed when he had the garden. He looked depressed.
I did think that Jericho Sims showed some promise.
I like Jericho Sims.
There you go.
I like that. He's got promise, okay? I like some of these cats, but they ain't ready yet when you talk about Embiid and Harden. I mean, come on. And so when we look at the Philadelphia 76ers, let me bring up another point that you didn't bring up, KP. We ain't seen the Nets on the court together yet. I mean, there's no Ben Simmons yet. There's no Kyrie with KD yet. Okay, KD is coming back. Mm-hmm. The mandate in New York City might be lifted. I mean, my God, God forbid that Kyrie Irving actually gets to play games at the Barclays Center. Ooh. I mean, we haven't seen that yet. I understand the greatness of Embiid and Harden. I get that. And if they continue to play like that, Daryl Morey looks phenomenal. I got that. But damn, can we see them play against Minnesota, somebody other than Minnesota and New York, before we make such proclamations? I mean, my goodness.
Last time I checked, Minnesota.
They're a good team. They're a good team.
Seventh in the West. That's the problem you and I have, is that you don't realize that it is hard to win in the league, okay? It is hard to win in the league.
Who said that we don't know that?
Well, you're the one acting like you because you
said I said Minnesota. They're the seventh seed in the Western Conference.
Because you're sitting up here telling me about who they played against.
What I look at is
it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And I'm talking about in the sample size, I don't give a damn if they was playing against me, you, Monica, Molly, and you can even throw
Right. That's where the difference between us is. You're absolutely right, because if they were playing against us, I don't think it's a challenge.
My point in telling you this is, in this small sample size, and they haven't even been together long, it's only going to get better, Stephen.
And who are they going to be playing against?
Time out.
Perk. You keep bringing up Ben Simmons. When is he going to play?
Okay, wait a minute, Perk. Okay, let's take the Nets out of the equation. You don't think at all that this is a little bit of a honeymoon phase and everything is everything, considering the caliber of teams that they just beat? Because you got to acknowledge, Perk, it's going to get tougher. And that's when the rubber hits the road.
Monica, let me say something. This is the first time in a long time that we have seen a guard this talented, a guard, and a big this talented come together. And the last time this happened, they won a championship. That was Kobe and Shaq. Like, listen, when you're able to get a skill center that's unstoppable and a guard at the perimeter that's unstoppable, mm-hmm. and you can't stop them from getting to the free throw line, this is not just going to happen to Minnesota or New York. This is going to happen to everybody.
KP, hey, hold on a second. Let's take your examples. Shaq and Kobe won three straight. They also got annihilated by, hold on, let me finish. They also got annihilated by San Antonio 1 year. We look at you guys in Boston. You won the title in 2008, although injuries had a lot to do with it, and I think you being hurt had a lot to do with it. You ultimately lost in 2010. There are teams with greatness, particularly from the guard spot and the big man spot, who have lost. Magic and Kareem have lost. I mean, it happens. All I'm trying to say to you is this. You took a two-game sample against one team in Minnesota who's very respectable, another team with the New York Knicks, who I got a lot of people there that I love, but I'm not even talking to them right now because I'm so damn disgusted with what I'm saying from them, okay? Losing nine of their last 10. Don't even get me started on them damn Knicks. I'm just pissed off. But the point that I'm making is, no matter how great, and we know that James Harden is great, Joel Embiid is great, neither have won a championship yet. Championship experience comes into the equation. Right. You
Gentlemen.
Said they gonna win the champ.
You did take
so
a big
what?
Jump,
Perk. Last
okay,
word here, Perk, and
jump.
Then we gotta roll. Perk,
don't
close
run,
it
me.
Out.
We'll be back. We'll be back. Yeah, I'll be back, Mr. T. I'll be back.
Yeah,
I'll be
that's back. Fine.
I'll be back. I'll
that's
be back. Ain't nobody scared of you.
I like your chain, Perk. All right. Guys, we got to leave it there. The Nets still have the best odds to win the East, followed by the Bucks and then the Sixers. Monica and Perk will be back in just a bit. Now to baseball.
The sport should be in a better place than it is.
Incredible
right
players playing this game
on
every
the damn
day.
Field.
A swing and a drive!
It might go!
Is kind of waiting on
they're
the league.
In the process of having
they're asking to change the system.
Our owners fully understand how important it is to our fans. It is part of my job to get us to an agreement that keeps the game on the field. We are trying to do that.
Let's do this. Despite a long day of conversations between the MLB and the MLBPA on Sunday, the sides still remain far apart on a new collective bargaining agreement. The 6-plus hours of meetings came a day after before a league-imposed deadline that will trigger the cancellations of regular season games if the sport doesn't have a new collective bargaining agreement by the end of negotiations today. Opening day on March 31st will be canceled, along with potentially a week's worth of games. We now bring in MLB insider Jeff Passan. Jeff, always good to see you. Busy day, sir. Thank you for being with us. Jeff, tell me, what is at stake for MLB today?
Well, I mean, nothing other than the entire future of the sport. I mean, this is a sport that's on the precipice at times, it feels, of irrelevance. And the idea that Major League Baseball is coming in and potentially single-handedly shutting the game down after locking players out 3 months ago is honestly unfathomable. And you can understand, Molly, why players are as angry as they are. Their pay has been cut on average for four consecutive years now. Their service time has has been manipulated for a decade now. They're looked at by owners, frankly, as pawns. And owners are now coming in and saying, we don't want to raise the competitive balance tax threshold. That's the luxury tax threshold. So essentially, they want to cap what players are being paid at this point. But it's more than that. It goes beyond just player pay. They recognize this game is not in a great place right now. And if they have owners who look at them less like partners and more like employees, the players are the game. Like, that's what this comes down to. The players are the game, and I don't think the owners recognize that, and I don't know what the end game is here, but if it means we're losing opening day, the game's a whole lot worse off for it.
Jeff Passan, I've got a perspective, and then after that, I'm going to come to you with a question. Dan, thank you for being on the show. Appreciate it. Here's the deal, man. You could not have said it better. They're tinkering towards irrelevancy. And one of the reasons I said, you know, when we wanted to broach this subject, I said, call you, get you on the show, because I wanted you to provide your perspective before I gave my take, because I'm watching it from the periphery. I mean, I'm watching it from a distance. I'm a fan watching the sport. I'm not covering it like you are. And so my attitude is this. Football and basketball have really taken over in America in terms of the mind's eye of American folks. They watch folks. When you talk about people ingratiating themselves with the younger generation, basketball has definitely done that successfully, and football has made itself essentially into religion, where you've got people planning their Sundays around the football schedule, for crying out loud, including pastors. Including pastors. I happen to know this is true. So when you look at it from that perspective, we understand what's going on when you're talking about football and basketball. Baseball is a different problem. I think about the cancellation of the World Series in 1994. I think about how they had to lean on Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa's chase for Roger Maris' single-season home run record in 98 to resurrect the sport. What I'm trying to remind baseball fans about is that's 4 years after the cancellation of the World Series. That's how much it took for you to return to relevancy, because people were so turned off at the gall that you had as a sport to cancel the World Series. So I come to you with this question. I'm totally with you in terms of the owner's culpability in all of this. Totally agree with you there. I find them most culpable, especially since they're the ones who are locking the players out, okay? But I will say this, because Alex Rodriguez has brought this up on many occasions, and I have to give him credit for this. He has pushed for players doing their part in terms of marketing the sport more to ingratiate themselves with the younger audience. And I think that it's possible that owners have said, you're not doing your part to grow this sport. You're holding on to tradition. All you want to do is go out there and play, and you don't want to adjust to the times and what's necessary to really build an audience, because our audience continues to get older and older and older. How much do you believe that's playing a role in the owners taking this hard line position against the players?
I don't disagree with your premise on a lot of what you say there, Stephen A. Players could do more. Some players are not going to. That's just their personalities. But some guys absolutely could be out there more. I don't think that has a single thing to do with this, though. I think this has to do with one thing, Stephen A., and one thing only. And that thing is the only thing that these things are all about. Money. It's always about money. It's always been about money. It's always going to be about money. It's not about the betterment of the game. It's not about the betterment of the players. It's not about the fans. It's not about their feelings. It's about none of that. It's about money. That's why we're talking about the CBT threshold, the league saying it's going to be $214 million and adding penalties. It's worse this time around than last time. Why? Because owners think they pay the players enough. Because as profits in the game have risen, as revenues in the game have risen, as franchise values in the game have risen, player salaries have not. And owners like that. They look at that and say, that's how the world should be. That's how you run a successful business, by paying your employees as little as possible.
Okay.
And so they're trying to squeeze right now. They are trying to squeeze the players right now. And if you look at the cancellation of opening day, it's not to go and throw the bird up at fans. No, it's to try and squeeze players even more get them into taking another bad deal that's going to enrich the league and the owners that much more.
Well, Jeff, let me come back with this question then. I mean, because, again, you're talking about revenues up, you know, everything's up. accept player salaries, and we get all of that. What about the resolve of the Major League Baseball Players Association now compared to what it was in the past? Because in the past, players looked at them, professional athletes looked at MLBPA as the model because they were strong. How are they viewed in today's generation?
It was that's a great point, Stephen. For a long time, the MLBPA was seen as the strongest union, not just in professional sports, but in America. And I think labor peace, frankly, and remember, we had a quarter century of labor peace before this lockout. I think labor peace, I'm not going to say it made them complacent necessarily, but I'm not sure I knew what the resolve was going to be. I think two things changed that. Number one was when Rob Manfred called the Commissioner's Trophy a piece of metal. I say this, Stephen A., like, in all seriousness, players still talk about that right now, like, on their calls all the time. And COVID did it, too, when they couldn't come to an agreement with the league on a season, and Rob Manfred implemented a 60-game season. The players at that point were like, you know what? They've done these things to us again and again and again, indignity after indignity, insult after insult. How much are we going to take anymore? And at this point, we're going to find just how strong, Stephen A., that resolve is. But I would say this. I've been covering baseball for almost 20 years right now, and the level of engagement from players, nowhere close to where it is right now. I mean, it's far and away. You have not just players either. You got Max Scherzer. You got Gerrit Cole. You've got Francisco Lindor. I mean, you've got stars at the table, too.
How is Rob Manfred being viewed right now, and how should he be viewed in your eyes based on what has transpired?
Well, let's put it this way. Rob Manfred was the one who ultimately decided to lock the players out. Rob Manfred was the one who said about a month ago now, if we lose games, it will be a quote-unquote disastrous outcome. The players look at Rob Manfred, and he's like a gift to them. He's the person around whom they rally. He is the enemy in their eyes. And I think they've been able to bring in a lot of the rank and file because of him. So, Rob Manfred has played a very large role in this, both operationally and in really engaging and igniting the players.
Appreciate you, Jeff.
Jeff, thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
Really great info and perspective. You're the best, and we'll be talking to you soon. I know it's a busy day. Appreciate the time. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings awaits you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod. After there were reports that there's dissension between the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray, it appears the quarterback not playing games. Listen to this. Kyler Murray's agent, Eric Burkhart, released a statement this morning noting that Murray absolutely wants to be the Cardinals' long-term quarterback but desperately wants to win a Super Bowl, saying in part, "Actions speak much louder than words in this volatile business. It is now simply up to the Cardinals to decide if they prioritize their rapidly improving 24-year-old, already two-time Pro Bowl quarterback who led the organization from 3 wins before his arrival to 11 wins and their first playoff appearance in 5 years, or rather, if they choose to financially prioritize committing to other areas and continuing to merely talk about addressing Kyler's long-term future as their quarterback. Unfortunately, every player, coach, and executive in the NFL knows or should know that words and hypothetical contractual promises are regularly dismissed and fleeting in their business. Kyler remains hopeful that the organization chooses to commit so that he can continue leading the Cardinals to further success and value for many years to come." Where's my guy Swaggo? There he is, Marcus Spears. Good to see you this morning. How we doing?
I'm good. I didn't know we weren't like suit and tie on a Monday. I thought we were business casual today.
I'm getting ready to travel to a warm weather state today after the show. Oh, yo, Marcus, just for you, my brother. Not just for you, but partially for you.
Oh my goodness.
Oh,
he getting go shopping
ready.
This weekend?
He getting
I mean,
LA
I can't.
Ready. Yes.
I can't.
And say, what's the first place you going when you touch
anywhere.
That West Coast, man?
Say what?
Where you going? Where you going when you touch that West Coast? Where you going?
Well, LA's one spot. It won't be the only, but it's one spot.
All right, let's stay focused because we know Stephen A gets very distracted.
Let's move it. With the producer whatsoever. No flavor. Got to get him. Let's go.
All right, we'll do it. Well, listen, I'm good at following directions. So, Agu, I'll start with you. How does Kyler come across in this statement? Do you like this by his agent?
I don't like it. I understand it. I understand what Kyler is in his career right now and all of the things that his agent pointed out about the success of the team. But ultimately, when you think about Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals, it's going to fall, I believe, in line with the same kind of back and forth we went to with Dak Prescott. And how we continue to have a conversation. How much should you pay him? Is he the long-term answer? How good is Dak Prescott in Kyler Murray's situation? I'm comparing the two. And when you think about it, like, yeah, we've seen phenomenal play from Kyler Murray. We've seen dynamic play from Kyler Murray with his legs. We've seen him lift this team at times. And then at times, y'all, we've seen him be bad. We've seen when things aren't around him, aren't align perfectly, him not have the type of success or show that type of ability to bring his team over the top. And then, too, when you start comparing numbers, and y'all know me, I'm not a crazy statistics guy, but Kyler Murray ain't been blowing things out of the water when you start talking about his numbers by season's ends. Yes, early in seasons, we've had him at MVP conversation. We've talked about how dynamic he was. We know that DeAndre Hopkins was injured, and that made a difference in their production offensively, but Kyler ain't thrown for more than 30 touchdowns, I believe, in his career thus far. Kyler hadn't led his team to a playoff win yet. All of these conversations that we are having about Kyler Murray a year in advance, we liken it to when we talked about not only Dak, but Lamar Jackson. Will he win in the playoffs? He's dynamic, but he can run. He's athletic. He's phenomenal to watch, but And now you get in year three after this abysmal playoff loss, and you start jockeying for position to get a new contract? Because that's what this all about, Stephen A. I don't like it from the agent, bro.
Marcus, Swaggoo, I think that's a bunch of BS. But I'm not talking about you. Listen to me. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the position that you just articulated because of one reason and one reason only. I agree with everything you highlighted because I'm leaning on you for that football knowledge, right? And I still think it's BS. You know why I think it's BS? Because don't talk to me about anything you just highlighted, accurately highlighted about Kyler Murray without bringing up Cliff Kingsbury. Why you got the damn job? You were at Texas Tech. You had no NFL coaching experience. You leapfrog over white and black candidates to get this position. You replaced the dude that got 1 year on the job and got bounced, okay, in Steve Wilks. That's Cliff Kingsbury. So you got this job, right? Everything that you said about him, Marcus Spears, everything you said about him, Swaggoo, I'm down with it. I'm down with it. No problem. Yeah. But here's the deal. I'm going to give you just numbers. Kyler Murray has completed better than 66% of his passes in his NFL career. He has 70 touchdowns and 34 interceptions, okay? A better than 2-to-1 ratio, TD to interception ratio, okay? And he just took them to the playoffs. What I'm saying is this. If we talking about what he's not, why Cliff Kingsbury did? Because the only reason you got the job was because of Kyler Murray. Remember, he got the job because he had ingratiated himself with these quarterbacks, or he had established himself as this guy that had relationships with some of the young quarterbacks. And as a result, he was that perfect guy to get Kyler Murray over that hump. So what I'm trying to say is, you married it to him. Now, if he go, you go. If he go down, you go down. If he don't get a damn raise or he don't get a huge contract, you don't get your contract. That's all I'm saying. I'm not challenging what you're saying in terms of its veracity. What I'm saying is it's incredibly unfair. Kyler Murray is in his third year in the National Football League. He's a miniature-sized, 5'9", 5'10", listed, okay? Got to look over people to throw the damn football down the field. And he's still putting up better than decent numbers. And we talk about him, and we going to let we going to let Cliff Kingsbury off the hook? Or Steve Kynes?
Were we ever under the impression that Cliff Kingsbury was the guy? Did we ever think that? I've said with you a number of times about the Arizona Cardinals, and right. We both have said Cliff Kingsbury don't know what the hell he's doing. All right, I understand where you're going with that. You saying the coach and the end to the quarterback is a direct correlation, yes. And Kyler Murray can't reach his ceiling with Cliff Kingsbury. 100% agree with you,
I'm not even saying can't. I'm not even saying can't. I'm saying if we're going to hold Kyler Murray accountable, Cliff Kingsbury attached to the hip with him. That's what I'm saying.
I got you. But in this particular argument or disagreement that we're having, Kyler Murray agent sent a letter publicly. Right. Talking about a long-term deal. They are not going to scrutinize Cliff Kingsbury. And like you and I, when we start talking about football, we look at the overall. We look at the things that are transpiring around Kyler Murray, saying why hasn't he played up to the level in which we see at times, but inconsistently. But when we start talking about this isolated situation, that's why I brought up Dak. That's why I brought up Lamar Jackson. We got Lamar, too, going into a contract situation with the Baltimore Ravens. Stephen A., we ain't going to mention Cliff Kingsbury one time.
Well,
we ain't
going to
talk about that
time. Wait a minute. You say that, but remember what precipitated the agent coming out. About a week and a half ago, we had a discussion.
From the organization.
The discussion was stuff that was being leaked about by the organization about Kyler Murray. Suddenly he looking for money, and we hearing character issues. Character issues. So again, to me, the agent is perfectly within his right to come out in defense of his client when you leaking stuff out about him that you pointing to his character and stuff that justifies you potentially lowballing him.
S.A. But in the same breath, you say he want to. In the same breath, you say he want to be the long-term answer. So which is it? Because you and I can lament on this for the rest of the show. If the organization just came out and tried to smear your name or talk about the person that you are or your characteristics, why are you sending a letter publicly talking about you want to deal with this team long-term? And then me and you talking about Cliff Kingsbury. Does he really feel like Cliff Kingsbury is the coach to get him over the top? Because if he does, you're still asking for a long-term deal.
I'll answer it real quick.
So you want to sit in Arizona in the middle of an organization that put out nonsense about you?
I answer the question quickly. The answer to that would be yes, Wagyu, for one reason. When you're in your third year in the NFL and you're relatively young and they've already put out stuff about you that brings your character into question, if you go right back at them, what happens is it leaves justification for the organization not to pay you, and then you're looking for another job where you ain't going to get that money. That's why you take that position.
To be continued. Marcus will be back with us in just a bit, guys. By the way, 9 quarterbacks that could be on the moves. Rodgers, Wilson, Cousins, Ryan Carr, Tua, Jimmy G, Jameis, and Deshaun. Much more quarterback news to get into in just a bit.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit 1 million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.